you have a Bible, I invite you to open it to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. We'll be looking at two scriptures this morning. As we talk about on this Palm Sunday for a few moments this morning, the King we need. The King we need. There are sermon notes that are in your bulletins with some fill-ins on the screen, as well as some fill-ins for the children as well in our activity packets. So a way to be able to engage and follow along as we look this Palm Sunday at the King we need. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. It's Matthew's account of what we call on Palm Sunday the triumphal entry. Matthew records this. Matthew 21, beginning in verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 9:9, that says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee." In the time of Jesus' coming in this way, the nation of Israel was under occupation by the Roman Empire. And they had limited freedom to be able to rule themselves. They were able to worship, and they had some leaders over them. But the real leader, the real power was Rome. They were an occupying force in the land of Israel, as they were throughout much of the world at that time. And the Israelites, the Jews, were expectant from the scriptures of a king who would come in the name of the Lord, a king who would be from the line of David, a son of David, a king who would rule and reign forever and ever, a king who would deliver them from oppression. They were expecting a military leader, a military power who would defeat Rome, who would cast the oppressors away, and who would set them free. And so on this day that we celebrate as Palm Sunday, we hear of Jesus riding in on a colt, the young of a mother donkey. Now, when you and I think of power, we would not think of young colt, the foal of a donkey, the child of a mother donkey who would ride in, and because it had never been ridden before, have to have its mother alongside of it to kind of coax it along. You would not think that a king would ride a donkey. In fact, in those days, it was a civil leader who could be royalty of some sort, but a leader of some sort, but not military, not power, not glory. And yet Jesus comes, gentle, riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Royalty declared, but not fierce military power. And yet the people get their cloaks and they throw them down on the ground, and they get their palm branches and they wave them around, and they throw those palm branches on the ground to be able to provide a path for the colt to come in as Jesus rides in, and they declare, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna means save. also developed into a term of praise. So at the same time, they are saying, praise the Son of David, and they are saying, save us, Son of David, as they are waving their palm branches, as they declare, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, praise in the highest, save us, Jesus. Clearly, they have in mind a king who would save them. But Jesus was not the kind of king that they were expecting, because Jesus did come to save, but he came to save from an unseen enemy, sin, not from the seen enemy before them, Rome. Jesus, the king, comes gentle and lowly, riding on a colt full of a donkey. This is a picture of Jesus' kingship today. There's another picture of Jesus' kingship. At the end of the scriptures in Revelation chapter 19. And I would invite you to turn to Revelation 19 with me for a moment. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the 19th chapter. It's John's description of the coming towards the end of time. And Satan and all of his armies and the armies of the world, the armies of the nations, the kings of the nations are standing against the people of God and against God himself. And in the midst of a time when it seems that all hope is lost, John sees this in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. He says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here is the conquering king. Here he is, not riding on a colt, but riding on a white horse. A white horse was a symbol of military victory, a military power. Whenever Roman emperors or Roman generals would come back from war victorious, they would ride in on a white horse. It was a symbol of power. It was a symbol of victory. And Jesus, depicted at the end of time, coming with the armies of heaven, with his eyes blazing like fire, with a sword coming out of his mouth, with his name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming to make war, coming to set all things right. The one who is the Word of God, the one who is faithful and true, comes in power and in glory and in victory to save from all the seen enemies and to make all things right. It's the same king, but seen two very different ways. One, gentle and humble, not in the expectation of the people, not coming to defeat the seen enemy, but the unseen by the laying down of his life, and the other coming to enforce the victory of the cross. The other coming in power and in glory. And so as you see these two pictures of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I would ask you this morning, which king would you want? Which king would you want? And which king today do you want? Now, I've grown up in church. Maybe you have. Maybe you've been around. And the question may be in your mind, oh, I know which king I should want right now. The question in the midst of situations when you have your back against the wall, when you are desperate, when you have no easy way out, which is the king that you want? You see, it's so easy for us to want the king with power and with glory who defeats all the enemies. But sometimes the king that we want is not always the king that we need. Sometimes the king that we want is not always the king that we need. And this is why, just a few days after the crowd cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us," waving those palm branches and declaring Jesus as Messiah, that a few days later, that same crowd is crying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." You see, we quickly turn on those who don't give us what we want, even if they are giving us what we need. So think about it on this family Sunday in terms of parents and their children. Imagine, children, that you have a bag of Easter egg hunt candy from yesterday. And you come to your parents and you say, "I want some candy." And your parents say, "Sure, here is some candy." In that moment of want, those parents, your parents, are the greatest parents in the world, aren't they? "Mom, Dad, you are the best. Mom, Dad, I love you. Mom, Dad." Because they've given what you want. But things can easily turn the other direction when a little later you come and you say, "Mom, Dad, I want some more candy." And your mom or dad said, "No, it's not time for candy. You've had some already. It's time for dinner. And I want candy, I want candy, I want candy. No, 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 it's time for dinner. We're eating dinner, and don't get up until your plate is cleared and your vegetables have been eaten." How quickly it turns from greatest parents in the world to, "I can't believe what you are doing to me." Why? Because the parents gave what the kids wanted, but when it came time for what the kids needed, not what they wanted, now parents can be on the not so good side. This is what happens naturally with us, because often we want the conquering, powerful king to make all things right. But he doesn't always come in that way to us. Many times, and especially in the days that we live, he comes to us gentle. He comes to us inviting us to come to him and to take his yoke upon us and to learn from him. You see, sometimes when we want the victorious king, when we want that annoying person in our lives to be taken away, and what the king wants instead is for us to learn grace and to learn deep, abiding love for them. Sometimes in the midst of a difficult problem, we want the victorious king to come and fix the problem now. And what the king knows that we need is to learn that he is sufficient and that he is able to teach us patience. Sometimes in the midst of a sickness, we want it to be healed right now. And he knows that what we need is to learn to suffer and that he is sufficient in suffering. Sometimes in the midst of our questions and what do I do and where do I go, we want the answer to it now. We want the king to give us the answer right this now, right this moment. And what he knows that we need is to engage in the process of learning. Sometimes we want temptation to end. And what the king knows we need is to learn to crucify the flesh that is the source of why we are tempted. Sometimes we have a financial need that we need met now, or we want the newest gadget that everybody around us has. And that's what we want the king to give to us. And what the king knows we need is to learn contentment. Sometimes we have a problem in our marriage that we want fixed. And what the king knows we need is to be transformed in our problem areas so that our marriage is healed and strengthened. Sometimes we want our children to be free from challenge and pain. And what the king knows is we need to learn to surrender control and to allow God to care for them and to teach them in the midst of difficult lessons. Sometimes we want a deep relationship and closeness with God in a 5-minute devotion and a coming to church on Sunday morning. And he knows we need to learn that he is the water that quenches our spiritual thirst. You see, like many of those in Jesus' day, it is absolutely possible that we can miss Jesus the King and what he wants to do simply because what we want is different than what we need. It's easy for us to look at Palm Sunday and those people cheering and say, how did they miss him? And we often can easily miss him ourselves because what we want and what he knows we need are two radically different things. Don't get me wrong. It's not that Jesus doesn't want to give us things that we want sometimes. Because sometimes the king we want is absolutely the king we need. The king we want is absolutely the king we need. Didn't the children just do such a wonderful job singing Is He Worthy this morning? Can we just give thanks to them and thanks to the Lord one more time for that? It was great. And I love that song because it declares a deep need that we have for God in the midst of the broken and dark and hopeless world that we live in. Those questions that they sang, do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel all of this pain? Do you feel it around us? Do you feel the darkness? And as they sang so often, we do, and yes, it is. There is only one solution and only one hope in the midst of this broken world that they reminded us of in the song, and that is King Jesus. He is the one that the wants, the deep longings of our soul for this world that is broken, that is not right, that he has promised he will make all things right one day when he returns. There is that deep want, that deep longing, and he is the one who will supply that want. Because it is a need that we have that only King Jesus can be the solution of. And Revelation 19 is that amazing, beautiful picture of the King coming to make all things right. Only Jesus can make all things right. Only Jesus can restore the brokenness of this world. And it is a longing, and we do look to King Jesus and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come, we need you to come and to make all things right again. It's our great and it's our deep cry. It's a longing and a want that the Lord has put into us for him to rule and to reign and to make all things that are broken right. And in this Holy Week, as we reflect upon the cross, upon the burial, upon the resurrection, and then future, the ascension of Christ, we remember that he has paid for all that is broken to be made right, and one day he will return and he will complete it. This is our great want and it is our great need, and it is our absolute confident assurance that he will do it. The King who came to save us from sin is the King who will come to save us from the brokenness of evil, and he is the one who will make all things right. Sometimes the King we want is absolutely the King we need, and sometimes he breaks through as well before the day that he returns. But overall, in the days that we live until King Jesus returns, the King that we need to want is Jesus. A little bit of a tongue twister there, but the King that we really need to want is Jesus. Because Jesus, above all, does not want to simply be our problem fixer. Even though he's more than able, and oftentimes more than willing, to be our problem fixer. But he wants to be more than just our problem fixer, because if he's just our problem fixer, we only come to him when we have a problem that needs to be fixed. But he wants more than that. He wants to be the King of our hearts. He wants to live and to dwell with us in a loving relationship, not just in heaven one day, but now, right now. What we need more than anything is for Jesus to be King of our lives. And we need to want Jesus this way, because when we want Jesus to be the King of our lives, it leads us to a place of surrender. It leads us to a place where we are able to say, yes, Jesus, save me from sin and from the brokenness of my life and the relationships around me. Save me so that we might know one another more, so that you might dwell more closely with me. What we need to really want is simply Jesus. My family had a tradition. In some of the years when I was growing up, we would go to church on Sunday night for Sunday night church. And there were kids' programs and adult service, and we would come home in time for a family watching of a TV show that kind of prepared us. It was the last thing we did before the Monday started of the week to start. It was Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Anybody watch that one? It was a while ago. It was while I was in high school, so we won't date on that. Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. And it was a little bit different than some of the Superman shows in that there was this kind of relationship that was focused on between Clark Kent and Lois Lane. And it was always one of those like, oh, come on, guy. When are you going to get this, Lois? Because whenever Lois would get herself in trouble, and it was like every episode, Lois got herself in trouble. And she always needed Superman to come and to rescue her. And Lois and Clark, you know, Clark Kent is Superman in disguise, Superman on everyday living. Clark, they were always together in the midst of Lois getting them in trouble. And then amazingly, Clark would disappear, and Superman would appear, and Superman would save the day, get her out of the predicament that she had found herself in. She needed him to do this. And then as soon as it was over and Superman had saved the day, he speeds off, and here comes Clark. And she's like, where were you? Superman was here. And for some reason, episode after episode after episode, she just never put together the fact that maybe this guy that always disappears when Superman shows up and reappears when Superman leaves, maybe, just maybe, it's him. But there was something that was interesting about it, is that Clark / Superman, you know, really liked Lois. And Lois really liked Superman. And it was always this thing of, will she be able to like Clark? See, what she really wanted was Superman. But what Lois Lane really needed was Clark Kent. For the care and the stability and the friendship that Clark provided for her. And like Lois, we absolutely need King Jesus to save us. And to make all things right one day when he comes back as our coming king. We need him to do this. Only he can do these things. But we also need him to save us in ways that we may not always want. But he knows in his goodness and in his love that we absolutely, desperately need. You see, on this Palm Sunday, our greatest need is not just for Jesus to fix our problems. Our greatest need is that we would really just want Jesus for who he is, the glorious King, who is our Savior and our Lord, and who desires for us to dwell with him, who desires for us to surrender to his kingship over our lives, who desires for us to follow after him and to learn from him and allow him to shape us and transform us to make us like him. The king we really need to want is Jesus. We're going to enter into a time of worship just celebrating our King together. And in a moment, some of the children will help us. They're going to distribute to you some palms. And you can utilize those in worship as we do it, or you can just take them home with you. However, I know some are more exuberant, some are more reserved in their worship. But however you would choose, feel free to wave those things around just as those on Palm Sunday waved to say, King Jesus, we worship you and we want you. But if we would just take a moment before we would enter into that time. And, you know, this morning you may say, yeah, Jesus, I want you more than anything. I want you to be king of my life, king of my heart. But you may also be looking at that first question, which is the king that I would want? And if you're honest with yourself, the king that you want is just the one who's going to fix your problems. And then the next time you have a problem, you can come to him. The next time you have a problem, you can come to him. And you may be saying, you know what? I'm kind of struggling to just want Jesus for Jesus. And if that's where you're at this morning, to be able to acknowledge that before him and just to say, Jesus, you know my heart. You know I want you more sometimes to fix my problems than just for you and just to be in relationship with you. So would you help me to want you as king? And see what he'll do as you journey with him. So let me pray for us as we do. Jesus, we acknowledge this morning that you are the rightful king. And we do acknowledge how much we need you. You're the only one who can fix this broken world. You're the only one who can save us. And one day we celebrate the fact that you are coming back to make all things right as our coming king. And that we will be with you forever. Today, Father, would you lead us to a place where, Jesus, you're not just king in the sense that you fix our problems and make all things right, but that you're the king of our hearts more and more, deeper and deeper, that we might dwell with you, live with you. Our greatest need, Jesus, is to want you as the King of our hearts. So even where we may struggle to fully want that, we pray that you might pour out grace and lead us in a journey to a place where you are our greatest want and our greatest desire. You are good. You've proved it to us. And we celebrate you now. In Jesus' name, amen.